good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast. You tune me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. Some of you tune me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com. The time of that service is 10 o'clock. Others, you try to tune in by the way of Sermon Cloud, but we've been having some difficulty with Sermon Cloud, and they're working and try to get it fixed. But in the meantime, if you go to my website, PastorKenHarger.com, and then if you just scroll to, you see the page that says Storage for My Radio Broadcast. I have a new page on my website, Storage for My Radio Broadcast. If you click on that, then you can see the latest program that is right there. Just click on the program itself, and it'll play for you. If you want to download it, there's a thing that you just click on to download, okay? Some changes that had to take place, so that's Pastor Ken Harger. Go to the page that says Storage for My Radio Broadcast. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you understanding that these things sometimes give us difficulty, and they've been working on it very hard, but they haven't come up with what's going on yet. A big thank you to those that helped with the sponsoring of our broadcast time together and take care of the finances, to Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. She's up this way visiting, but Marie, we thank you so much. To Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, she's from Greenville, and Gay, we thank you for your financial support. And to Doug and Noreen Lane family, they're from the Sheridan area, we thank you for your financial support as well, because that's what makes it able, I should say, for me to be able to continue on the radio broadcast. Court Warner Premium Truck and Auto, located east of Belding on M44, the north side of the road. They do complete truck and auto repair and service. A big thank you for K.N. Kingsinger for selecting the music for this morning. And then I always like to give an invitation to Shiloh Community Church. So at Shiloh, our weekend of worship, as we call it, starts out Saturday night, 6:30. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. And if you're in the Greenville area, our Greenville campus meets at the old Lutheran Church located on North M91 up there by McDonald's, new place that they have, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. That's when they gather at the old Lutheran Church, okay? That takes care of the things I need to take care of this morning, and I just thank you for tuning me in. I'm coming to you from the lighthouse. I do have the furnace working. It was giving me a little trouble this morning, too, today, trying to get it turned on. But it's doing pretty good right now. And I got to tell you, there's nobody on the lake. There's nothing happening here at the lake. We're in one of those lull periods where there isn't a whole lot that's taking place. And this big body of water is just as calm and nice as can be. The only thing we have is many hundreds of seagulls out there, and they're just flying around a little bit, and some of them just swimming and taking their own time. So I think we'll leave them alone, and we'll just get on with our broadcast time. I want to begin the song. The message this morning, by the way, is lesson number 8. It's the last study of the book of James that we're going to be doing this week, and then we'll be into some other things. But I have enjoyed sharing the book of James with you. I trust you have enjoyed me being able to share that beautiful book and the teachings in that book with each one of us as we study it together and learn some things from God. In this lesson now, we're gonna find out that God's got some things he wants to tell us about that goes beyond the riches that we was talking about last week. But I do want to begin this one this morning on some more thoughts about the riches. So we guess song that we have is a song that talks about that. It's one of those story songs, and I like those kind of songs, and I like the idea that K.N. has selected this for this week as well. We played it just a short time ago, but I'm looking forward to sharing the message. And we're going to be reminded there's things that money can't buy. We'll kick off from where we left off, okay? God bless
While
you.
While driving one day through the quiet countryside, that old man was walking
so I offered a ride. His face was all wrinkled, his hair turned to gray. And these are the words that he had to say. I may look like a beggar, but I'm rich as a king. What I have in my heart gives me reason to sing. I'm a joiner with Jesus, so why should I sigh? And these are the treasures that money can't buy. Money is worthless when a soul is at stake. If gold bought redemption, how much would it take? But he loved me and he saved me, and I can't explain why. These are the treasures, these are the treasures that money can't buy. If you look at my garments, you'll notice they're torn. But I've a new royal garment, I've been reborn. And the cabin I live in is home till I die. But I've a home up in glory that money can't buy. Money is worthless when a soul is at stake. If old bought redemption, how much would he take? But he loved me and saved me, and I can't explain why. These are the treasures, these are the treasures that money can't buy. Yes, he loved me and he saved me, and I can't explain why. These are the treasures, these are the treasures that money can't buy.
These are the things that money can't buy, and we all know we've got those kinds of things that money has no way of purchasing for us. And that salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus, that blessed hope of eternal life, money can't buy those things, folks. It comes by faith and believing in God and what he has for us. So we're going to talk a little bit about the idea of wealth, because I wanted to give you an idea of what Jesus shared about at one time that can help us to understand a little better. And then we'll get into the things that has to do with you and I surrounding prayer. So, and that's what God's going to try to teach us this morning. It's not that you can take care of yourself, that, but you need to have a prayer life and you need to have people praying for you. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But before we do, I'd just like to have a prayer once again for the listening audience, that God's special blessing would be on each one of you that have tuned me in this morning, that the Lord would minister to you in a very special way. So let's bow for a moment to prayer. Dear Father, as we come into your presence, we do so in behalf of the listening audience. Once again, I'm asking for your hand of blessing to be upon those that have tuned us in this morning, that this will be a very special time for them, a spiritual time for them, a time when they can gain some things for their life that would help them along the journey, whatever they're going through. And Father, because I don't know that, and because you do, we're asking you to just bless them in whatever their need is this morning. Father, I thank you so much that you meet us at the point of our need, and then you give us the courage that we need. So those that need courage, I ask that you just bless them this morning with special strength. Those that's dealing with physical problems, when we hurt physically, we hurt all over. Pray, Father, you just bless those that's having physical problems today. You would meet their need and relieve some of their pain according to your will. And then, Father, for those that's going through emotional problems, maybe within the family, maybe within their own individual life, maybe there's things happening at church that shouldn't be happening, but it's taking place and it's causing all kinds of emotional problems, I pray for your hand of blessing to be upon them and to minister to them in a very special way. Some have given up a loved one, and they feel the pain and the grief of that person being gone from them. Father, when we believe, that gives us hope. But at the same time, when we lose those people that are precious to us, those people that's been a part of our life for a long time, we hurt like no other pain we go through. And so I pray for those that's in the grieving process this morning, that you would just minister to them and meet their every need. Those that need some financial help, give them some direction and guidance. And whatever the circumstances, those that just found out they have cancer, those that just found out that there's nothing else that the doctor can do, I just ask your hand of blessing to be upon those in the dying process. Guide and direct, I pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, I wanted to give you, before I finished up the book, I wanted to give you one more thought about this idea of riches. Only the idea is coming from the Lord Jesus himself. We go back and pick up the idea of wealth, that this wealth can't really meet your needs as an individual. And I love what Jesus was telling each one of us that we needed to know, and telling the disciples that they needed to know. Listen to the way he shared it on his Sermon on the Mount. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust and doth corrupts, and where thieves can break through and steal. But listen to what he says now. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corruption, where there's no thieves can break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Let me say that again. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Then he gives us a good illustration. He said, you know what? The eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, and then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Listen to what he says now, trying to teach us about this idea of money. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot do that, he's saying. You see, sometimes he's speaking to those that allowed money to become their God. And he's saying, you know, you can't serve God as your money and at the same time serve the eternal God. But I like what he's saying to us, just to challenge us a little bit as we finish up this book of James. He's saying, you know, we've been talking about faith and works and how they work together. Been talking about using faith and works in so many different areas of your life. Now he's going to say, you know, I want you to understand that this faith and work has to do with your money as well. And then it has to do with you coming to me in prayer and seeking my will for your life. He's reminding us, you know, that anything you have on earth, folks, it can be gone just that quickly. Somebody can steal it. And what they did in those days, they collected clothes and things like that. He says moths can get in and do that. Damage. Some things, he says, can get rusty. I've seen things get pretty rusty when it's just loud, the sets, you know. And he's saying, you know, you just accumulated that, but it's not going to do you a whole lot of good. And then he reminds us about the eyes and what the eye does. So first Jesus shares, why build up treasures on earth? And because it's not very secure. Things can happen, and all of a sudden, that's all gone. And that sure has to be one of the fears of a wealthy person. And he would have a hard time if he lost his security of his wealth. It is good. Is this a good investment or a bad investment? And many more what-ifs if you got a lot of money you're trying to hang on to and be a part of. But Jesus shares, I want you to build up some treasures in heaven. It's an old statement, and I remember learning as a young Christian, what on earth have you done for heaven's sake? And we need to do some things for heaven's sake. We need to lay up ourselves some treasures. God says, when it's laid up in heaven, I'll protect it. You can have security that it's going to be there when you come to be with me when that time comes. I love what Jesus said after he showed the difference between the treasures of heaven and the treasures of earth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now he expands it. He's expanding this thought of how difficult it is to try to live life serving two masters. Do you ever work for a place where there's two people, bosses? It's almost hard to know what to do. No one can serve two masters, he said. That's impossible. Either you hate the one and love the other, you're devoted to the one or despise the other one. You cannot serve God and money. He then used our eyes as a lamp to our body. He's saying, you know what? What you focus on is what you can become. Did you ever think about that? What you focus on is what you can become. And he's telling us we need to focus on the kingdom of heaven. We need to focus upon laying up treasures in heaven, not laying up treasures upon this earth. And that focus is to be upon Jesus himself and what he's done for each one of us. And so now the book of James is going to wrap up this study with the idea of prayer. And it works and faith and works in prayer is something that's tremendously important for us to get a hold of. Faith and works has to do with your trusting God. And you know, when he's talking about praying, he's talking about faith and this idea of praying, he's going to share many different things with us. You know what he's saying? That's one of the ways that you can build up a treasure in heaven. It's getting involved in other people's lives. So let's just let him share with us through the book of James what God wants to share with us about this idea of prayer. And the first thing that he talks us about is the danger of taking an oath or making an oath. He says, you know, that's dangerous business when you do that because it can cause all kinds of difficulty. Listen to what he says. But most of all, brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or by earth or anything else. Listen to what he says, and this is where we should be at. Just say simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. Sometimes he said, you know, and when he talked about the tongue, it's so easy to say what you're going to do. It's so easy to promise God all kinds of things. It's so easy to promise other people all kinds of things. And then that was common in their day to give an oath. He said, don't do that, brothers and sisters. Taking an oath in the scriptures about making an oath or promise to others about something that you're going to do. The warning to us as a Christian is that there's danger in going beyond a simple yes or no. Taking an oath, I understand that it was very common practice among the Jews of Jesus' day to make a promise based upon an object on earth and not on the name of God. They did this primarily as a way out, just in case they broke their oath. They believed it wasn't a matter of judgment as long as the oath wasn't made in God's name. If they did it on the temple or something like that, they thought that would be okay. But Jesus addressed that again on his Sermon on the Mount when one day he said, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you made. But now Jesus says, I want to tell you something about that. That was what was taught in the Old Testament, so to speak. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven for its God's throne, or for the earth for its God's footstool, or for Jerusalem because it's the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Well, it could use some coloring, but all you need to say is simply yes, no. Anything beyond that, listen to what he says now. He's warning us. It comes from the evil one. It comes from Satan himself, getting you to place upon your life an oath that you're going to do this no matter what, as God is my judge. Now, the Jewish people wouldn't have said that. But I, just as sure as I'm in love with Jerusalem, or I promise you with my whole heart, I promise you with everything I have, I'm going to do this. Jesus is saying, don't do that. Just simply say yes, or simply say no, I don't believe I can do that. That's all God's looking for. That's all he wants us to look for. Because making promises beyond that, he says, is going to get you into some pretty deep, difficult times. Notice the two warnings of making an oath beyond a yes or a no. First of all, he told us, you could be guilty of sin. You promised to Satan you're going to do something. Remember, he already covered. Him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is what? Sin. You could promise you're going to do something, and then all of a sudden you find that there's condemnation on your life because you didn't live up to doing what you said. Simply say yes or no. God is telling us, you know, anything beyond a response of yes or no, it comes from the evil one. God is asking for us to respond to others and to him as well with a yes or a no. I got to give you one thing that I believe from my heart through my years of walking with God would be the idea from him. Whatever I have to do with him, I want to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't want to use the no's with him. Yes, Lord, here am I. Use me. But what he wants us to know is it has to become that yes is a part of our life. When we're talking about these things that we're going to say we're going to do, a simply yes or no is a good way to respond. Now, with that thought in mind, he asks a question. Are any of you going through any hardships in your life? Are you having difficulty in your life? I can ask the same question. Are you going through some tough times in your life? You, the listening audience, is there something that's really bothering you? Something that's on your mind when you go to bed at night? It's on your mind when you wake up? Something that is just seems to be eating away within you that you feel that you have to do something about it? Are you going through some hardship? Is it a difficult time in your life right now? And we all have those kinds of times from time to time in our individual life. Sometimes it's just things that there's nothing going right at all. The things that I was going through today, everything I turned around to do seemed like it didn't want to go. I thought I better get started picking up a few leaves, and guess what? The lawnmower wouldn't start. I had to clean the battery crate cables and put some charger on it for a while. And then I finally got that, so it started. Then I got out the vac that I used to pick up the leaves, and I gassed it up and oiled it and everything, and then I went to pull it and started, and it didn't want to start. Hadn't been used for quite a while, but it took a time. I had to pull it quite a few times before it really wanted to start. I say that because sometimes that's the way it is. You got some hardships in your life. Today you got some difficulties. God says, I want to tell you something. You need to pray about it. Came over here to the lighthouse, and at first the furnace didn't want to turn on, And I did do a little prayer about my furnace and asking the Lord, I need to have a little bit of heat up there, Father. And, you know, then the furnace turned on. So I felt better about that. Now I'm sitting here. It's fairly nice and warm. I got to tell you, folks, we realize, hey, sometimes things don't go the way we think it's going to go. So he's asking the question, you got any hardships in your life? If any of you are suffering hardships, you should pray. That's what he's telling us. You're going through a difficult time. You should pray. Pray. Are any of you happy? You're going through a really good time today? Blessed time today? You should sing praises to God, he says. Are any of you sick? you should call the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. That's what they did in those kind of days. That's what I still think is good to do in this day and age. You're going through sickness. Let other people know that and have them be praying for you that the Lord would bless in a special way. Let your spiritual leaders know and let your church family know that those things. Such a prayer offered in faith, it will heal the sick, he says. And the Lord will make you well. Isn't the prayer that's going to do it? But the Lord will make you well as we ask for his blessing upon our life. If you have committed sins, any sins, your sins will be forgiven. He's reminding us you're going through some difficult time. Maybe it isn't sickness. Maybe it's you need some forgiveness. Then he says, pray about that. The answer that Jesus is going to give us for all of these kinds of things in our life is, have you talked to him about it? You know, sometimes we talk to everybody else, but we haven't shared it with Jesus. Have you talked to Jesus about it? Have you prayed to the Father for a direction from him? Have you prayed to the Father for some wisdom from him? That's what he wants to do for each one of us. We see that one of the things he said, if you're sick, I like to divide it down this way. He says, if something's going on in your life, you got some suffering, pray. We need to pray for ourselves. Have you talked to Jesus about it? If any one of you are in trouble, he should pray. Second, have you called the church elders or other people within the church family and asked them to pray about whatever it is you're going through? Have you been praying for each other? Not just having everybody pray for you, but you praying for others and the things that they're going through in their life. If there's any sins, have you confessed those sins? Because God wants to heal you. Whether it's from sickness, disappointment, whatever it is, God wants to heal you. There's four distinct times that we should come before God in our prayers. When you're suffering, you should go to the Lord. When you have success, I believe you should go to the Lord. When you're facing sickness, I believe you should go to the Lord. When you've committed sin, I believe he's saying, you know what? Come and talk to me about it. Just think, God is asking us to commune with him in two ways, in prayer and in praise. Asking for his help, at the same time praising him for the help that he's already given you. God is teaching us that faith and works working together will cause us to have faith in the truth that God hears us, and he's going to work things together with us, and he's going to give us the things we need to do, and he'll answer our prayer. Our part of the works is to pray, to ask others to pray in the behalf of other individuals that's facing the same thing you're facing in life. Pray to God first. And then reach out to others and ask them to pray for you. Remember, he has already taught us that we have not because we have not. That's what he said. You have not because you have asked not. In every verse from verses 13 through verse 18, the word prayer is mentioned in every single verse. God is going to wrap up this study by telling us you need to be a praying person. You need to go to prayer first and then seek the wisdom from him. When I was in Wisconsin, I shared this verse, and I have this verse on my prayer morning things for the churches. I pray this for Shiloh. I pray this for my grandson's church there in Madison. I pray this same prayer for Kendall's church there in Spring Green, Wisconsin. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us learn there's power in prayer. Have you plugged into that power for your own individual life? There is power in prayer. You know, faith is what God wants us to realize is what unlocks the door. Grace gives us salvation, but faith unlocks the door. And having faith in him in prayer is something that God really desires that we would do. We're going to take a little break. Listen to a song. We're going to start out pretty powerful here. This song is telling us faith unlocks the door.
Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Words are so easily spoken. Prayer without faith is like a boat without an oar. Have faith when you speak to the Master. That's all He'll ask you for. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the
Did you have to wait, or did the answer come at all? Words are mere expressions of thought and nothing more. Believing, my friend, is what really counts. And faith, yes, faith, unlocks the door.
To know that. Believing in God and trusting in Him, and as we come to Him, we have faith, and faith unlocks the door. I'm so glad as a young Christian I learned Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, when it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. I love one of the thoughts that I shared just a little while ago, that God really wants us to connect with Him by getting involved in Him, with Him in prayer, talking to Him. It has been said that God talks to us through the Word, through the Bible, through the Scripture. And we talk to God through prayer. And we come to God and we must have faith. He tells us that in other places. We're not going to get into that. But, you know, he already reminds us when we come to Him in the book of James, we don't want to be wavering. We want to have confidence. We don't want to be like a ship on an ocean, so to speak. We want to have confidence that we're coming to Him and He's going to hear us and He's going to answer us. God loves it when we come to Him for direction for our life. And one of the people that I've really loved in the Old Testament is a gentleman by the name of Jabez. And Jabez had a prayer. And you know, it's one of my favorite things from that Old Testament portion of Scripture. You know what? It's given us a whole list of names before Jabez is mentioned. And God gives us a whole list of different people that had lived at that period of time. And then there's this little insert about Jabez. And then after that little insert is there, goes on and names a whole bunch of names again. You know, we miss sometimes, because there's so many names there, we miss the little insert that was there. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called upon the Lord of Israel one day, and he was saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, Lord. Oh, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that you would keep me from causing any pain." So God granted him what he requested. God's special. It's just that little insert. It says there's a guy amongst all these names of people. There's a guy that stands out because it says this about him. I believe this little insert is a blessing to you and I in our family, in our generation, in this period of life that we're a part of. Every now and then, there's somebody who sticks out. And Jabez was that person. He stuck out with this idea. I want to go over it again, what he prayed for. You know, you need to ask God for yourself. You need to ask God to bless you. Someone has said you need to pray for yourself just in case nobody else is praying for you. I don't know if that's true or not, but I got to tell you. I think there's nothing wrong in praying for yourself. Jabez simply says, "God, would you bless me? Would you bless me?" He's saying, I want blessings that comes from you. Oh, God, would you bless me indeed? Then he says, "God, would you enlarge the territory of my life?" So many of us are living every day with such a small territory of our life. God, would you enlarge my influence, the influence of my life? God, would you make my life reach out and touch more than it is touching now? God, would you have me be more involved with others than I am now? That's the way Jabez is praying. And that's a good prayer for me. That's a good prayer for you. Not only enlarge my territory, but God, would you have your hand be upon me, that I can sense so closely with your hand upon me, your presence, that you're with me every day, that you're with me every moment. And then he prays, "God, would you keep me from evil?" I've got to do my part. I know that, God. But would you keep me from evil? Remember what Jesus taught? Lead us not into temptation. And what? Deliver us from evil. We need to be praying that about ourselves. Sometimes you can get caught up in things that you're too caught up in it before you realize it. We need to be praying ahead of time as Jabez was. Keep me from evil, God. And then I think this is a good prayer for any one of us this morning. God, help me so that I don't cause others pain. God, help me so that I don't cause my own self pain. Someone has said, I was my worst enemy. You know, some other people cause pain upon other people, and they seem to enjoy doing so. But we don't want to be a part of that in our individual life. And we shouldn't be a part of that. The thing I really love, though, it just simply says it as clear as it is. And God granted Jabez his request. We need to know God loves to do that. And God reminded us already in the book of James, sometimes you don't have because you ask amiss. You just want it for yourself. But Jabez is asking God to do some really wonderful things for his life in order to make his life count more for the Lord. I learned a long time ago, what you do for God, if you deepen it, God will expand it, folks. God will expand it. That's what he's asking. And the biggest truth that I can share with you from that portion of Scripture is simply the truth that God granted him his request. When that request pleases the Lord, and when that request can honor him, in honoring you, that brings about good results. We're not going to stop there, though, because God didn't stop there before he finished writing the book of James. He now says, you know, something that is kind of controversial, and I just want to give you a few thoughts about it. He He said, you know what? Confess your sins to one another. Confess your sins to one another. I got to give you a little word of warning about that. I'd like to address this verse with some caution. In our day and age and life, the way life is today, I believe to share at almost every, I share at almost every funeral, the idea that God wants us to do something like what he's talking about. I'll do the funeral service and I'll say, you know, whatever you've experienced in your life and God has given you comfort for it, then when you see somebody else going through a similar experience, you ought to reach out and help them. So the way I try to explain it at a funeral is the best ones that can help the man that's just lost his wife is all of those you just lost a mate. The best one that can help a woman who just lost her husband is all of those of you that's lost a mate, a husband. The best ones that can be helped to the children is those of you whose mom has died or whose dad has died. The best one that can help those that have lost both parents is those of you that are orphaned as well, because you've lost both parents. And I believe with all of my heart, we're supposed to reach out and be that support to one another. That I believe is a good way to do it. That's a good principle to follow. I'd like to say I believe this same principle applies if you're called upon to confess your sins to each other. My advice would be do it with those that have experienced the same kind of things you're talking about that you're struggling with your life. Share that with those that's going through the same struggle. Case in point, I've known many people who have been helped by AA meetings who were struggling because of alcohol. But in AA meetings, they found support because everybody that was there was struggling with alcohol or other kinds of things that they were struggling with as far as drugs and things like that. You know, when somebody is struggling, they understand. But you know something, if you've never experienced that in your life, you don't really understand. I believe we need to be cautious when you confess your sins to one another. I like this humorous story about three pastors that went to a convention. They were all sharing the same room. The first pastor said, "Let's confess our secret sins one to another." "I'll start," he said. "You know, my secret sin is I love to go gambling. And when I go out of town, I just love to hear the clinging of those machines as I put the nickels or the quarters in those machines. I just love that." The second pastor said, "You know, my secret sin is that I just hate working. And I copy most of my sermons from somebody else that has given a sermon on the same subject." The third pastor said, "My secret sin is gossiping." "Gossiping," he said. "And oh boy, I just can't wait to get out of this room." You know, that was what was going to happen. And sometimes, can I be honest with you? When you share something with someone and they spread it to everyone, it does much more harm than it does good. We need to realize we need to be cautious. Remember the reason God said to confess your sins to one another in the first place? Wasn't that you could go spread it, but so you could pray for each other so that you may be healed from what you're going through. We need to be praying for the healing of others, and we need others to be praying for our healing as well. This is a great answer in prayer when we're sharing the burdens of one another. In my Facebook, I had a picture of a big horse going across the body of water. And up on top of that big horse was a teeny little dog getting a free ride but getting help. We need to help one another. But I got to tell you, folks, from my heart to yours, you can't be a help to one another if you're going to spread gossip. That isn't going to do it. When people ask you to pray, you need to make that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to pray about that. And we need to have people praying about the difficulties that we're experiencing. But again, I would just give this word of advice. Make sure when you're praying about the difficulties you're going through, make sure when you're telling somebody what it is, make sure, make very sure that that person knows what you're talking about. Otherwise, it'll get spread everywhere. I'll leave that alone now. I don't want to start meddling, but I just want us to understand there's some danger in some of the things that we might go too far on. I'm so glad that he ends up the book with this idea, and there's another thought, but I don't have time this morning to get into that. But I love the way he closed it in James 5, 17 and 18. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall upon the earth, no rain whatsoever for 3.5 years. And then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. Keep that in mind, what I've just shared about confessing your sins to one another. Elijah was a human just like you. When it says that in the scripture, the story of Elijah, by the way, is found in 1 Kings 18. Elijah was just an ordinary man, like we are. But he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, and none fell. And 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. The sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. The interesting thing James is saying, think, Elijah was a man just like you and I are. Just a human being. And they knew he was a man like they were. He had strong points, and he had weak points. He had successes in his life, and he had failures in his life. That's what each one of us have in common with one another. That's why we can be a help to one another. I believe with all my heart, dear people, that the healings that we need for our lives comes because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Way back in the book of Isaiah, it tells us that we are healed by his stripes. The suffering that Jesus went through, the beatings that he took, the plucking from his face, his beard, the spitting in his face. He went through all of that. And it says, because he went through all that, we are healed by his stripes. The suffering he took is to give us healing for the suffering that we may go through in our life as an individual. And so he's saying, I want you to understand that this is something that is really important for you to get a hold of. The history of the people of Israel, I'm not saying we should pray for no rain, but at their time, that's what it was needed. Matter of fact, you know my personal opinion on this? I sometimes wonder what we do with God, you know. Sometimes I had some event that I wanted to go to, and I'm praying to the Lord. Have it be a nice dry day, sunny day. Have no rain today. And then I wonder sometimes, I wonder how many of farmers are saying, Lord, we need some rain today. What a place to put our God in. If he answers my prayer, he can't answer the prayers of the farmer. So we need to realize that's not what I'm talking about. What he's talking about even goes much deeper than that. It goes much broader than that. He's reminding us that when the rain came after 3.5 years, the whole earth was refreshed and the crops began to grow. And I got to tell you, folks, I can't imagine going without rain for 3.5 years. But I have to believe not only was the earth blessed and refreshed, but I have to believe that those people were blessed and refreshed as well. 3.5 years with no rain. I think when that rain came, I didn't mind a bit playing out in it. I came over here to the lighthouse this evening, and then when I got ready to go back home, all of a sudden, let down a bunch of cold rain. I mean, it was cold rain. Time I got home, I was pretty wet. I got to tell you, I think if I had no rain for 3.5 years, I would have just loved and enjoyed just running around in the rain and playing, and just thanking God and praising him that rain has come. But I think there's an illustration here for us. I believe God would be saying to us, keep praying earnestly Because just as God sent the rain in response to the prayer of that ordinary man, Elijah, so today he will send restoring. He will send blessing. He will send joyfulness. He will send a refreshing. Now listen who this can come from. To the people that are so dry and weary, those ones that are so exhausted, they're so weak, they're struggling. That dear believer that's going through that kind of a difficult time, he needs my prayers. She needs my prayers. When I'm going through that kind of a time, I need your prayers. I need your prayers. Because it's difficult to go through that. And that's what God is trying to teach us. And I love it the way it did with Elijah. He was with his servant one day and he was praying for the rain to come. He sent his servant and says, go look in the sky. The sky was as blue as could be. He sent the servant seven times as he continued to pray. And then he said, go look in the sky. And you know what they found out? There was a cloud, it said, about as big as your hand. And Elijah said, we got to get going. The rain is going to come, and it's going to come hard. That was the faith that he had. He had that kind of faith simply because a little teeny cloud appeared. And we need to know that God wants us to have that kind of faith as well. We're going to listen to a song that says, you may be the only Jesus that some people will see. It may be the only one in your life that somebody will have some idea of who Jesus is. And how are you doing with that? Are you walking by faith? Are you letting faith and works work together in your life to bring about what the book of James has been teaching us to do? To have faith, yes, but to have works. Let's listen in. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share the book of James with you.
Will they ever see one who really cares? If not from you, how will they find? There's one who heals the broken heart and gives sight to the blind. 'Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. You're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. 'Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. If not you, I wonder who will show them love, and love alone can make things new. If not from you, how will they learn? There's one who trade their hopelessness for joy in return. 'Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. You're the only Jesus some will ever see. So let him shine, let him show, let them see him in you. You gotta let them know. 'Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see.